Holy Father, here we are. We're here to worship Thee, to honor Thee, to serve Thee. We're here in need of spiritual refreshment and with personal inspiration. We're here with the consciousness that Thou art able to supply our every need. So we invoke Thee with us in the fullness of Thy presence, with the wisdom of Thy mind given to our minds, and the grace of Thy heart given to our hearts, that each of us may spend an hour most profitably as we worship Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing, please.
You would remain standing, please, for our first hymn this morning, hymn number 55.
Making announcement that I'm glad to make, in Kings, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse and relating through the 39th verse of that chapter. Elijah the prophet was out walking, and he came across the way of Ahab the king of Israel. And when Ahab saw him, he said, "Oh yes, you troubler, you're the one who's bringing all the trouble to Israel." Elijah answered him and said, "Not I, but thou and thy father who was before you. You have brought the trouble to Israel. I say then, send out and call all Israel to the summit of Mount Carmel, that we might prove who is the true God." And so the king sent, and multitudes of thousands came from all Palestine to the summit of Mount Carmel. And when Elijah saw them, he said, "Yes, here we are. I say unto you, why go ye halting between two opinions? Why do you worship Baal instead of God? If Baal be God, then let us worship him. But if Jehovah be God, let us worship him. So I suggest to you that we have a test to see who is God. And my suggestion is that you, since you have 1,050 prophets here will take the initiative in preparing an altar and preparing the sacrifice and lay the sacrifice on the altar to be offered unto Baal. If Baal sends fire in response to your request of prayer, then I'll acknowledge that Baal is God. But if no fire comes, then I'll build an altar in the name of Jehovah and prepare an offering and lay it on the altar and call upon Jehovah to send fire. And if fire does come, then you'll acknowledge that Jehovah is God. And they said, that's fair. Let us do it. He said, then since you have many prophets and I'm alone, so you go first. They prepared the altar and prepared the sacrifice and called upon Baal to send fire. Noonday came and no fire had come. And then the afternoon. And finally, Elijah taunted them, saying, possibly he's asleep or he's gone on a journey. Cry aloud, and maybe he will come. And so they did so, but no response. They took the knives that they had and cut their bodies to the extent that blood gushed forth, thinking that would appease the wrath of Baal, and yet no fire came. They continued that until the time of the evening oblation, that is, going down of the sun, and still no fire came. They backed off. You can imagine seeing them, thousands of them, as they backed back on the top of the hill down the slope. And he stepped up to the side of that altar and said, come near unto me. And they stopped, and they saw him, and they thought something might happen. So they congregated back close. He said, bring me 12 stones, one representing each of the tribes of Israel. They brought him 12 stones, and with the 12 stones, he erected an altar in the name of Jehovah. With the 12 stones, Elijah erected an altar in the name of Jehovah. Then he put wood on the stone. He prepared a bullet and laid it upon the wood. He said, dig a trench around it. And they dug a trench around it. He said, go and bring me 4 measures of water, equal in my language to 4 barrels of water. I've been to that spring, so the story is, where that water was brought from, and he said, pour it on the sacrifice. They poured it there. Said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran down and filled brimming that trench which had been dug. And so, I don't know if this isn't said, but I have the opinion that that aged prophet stepped over by the side of the altar, stepped over that trench, and stood there. And I don't know, I imagine he had long hair and gray hair, and it swung down over his shoulders, and he lifted his face toward heaven and prayed this prayer. Oh, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and Joseph, hear me this day, that this people may know that thou, Jehovah, art God. Oh, Jehovah, hear me, that this people may turn their hearts back to thee again and recognize that thou art God. Amen. He closed the prayer. They looked into the heavens. Yonder was a flame of fire the size of a man's hand. It came on and took hold of the sacrifice and burned it. And the wood, and melted the stone, and melted all the water in the trench round about. And a multitude of thousands fell on their faces and cried, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Let us pray. Our Father God, We know that there is no God beside thee. We thank thee that we know that thou art real. Thank thee that thou art everywhere, that thou hast every life in thy mind, and thy providence is working in the innards of each life. How wonderful. We need to recognize thee today. May we not be here just by habit or just by form, but may each one be here because we are hungry for God. Personally, we need thee. Come thou and answer our individual needs. Answer the needs of our home from which we came. Bless our home, our loved ones. God bless our loved ones and our neighbors and our community and this church and this people. Oh God, bless this church, each member of it. May there not be an idle member or an indifferent member, but everyone responding to the call to come up to the house and the help of the Lord. We pray that this will be a people that witnesses for thee. Thank thee for them, for the many who do. And we ask that thy spirit may be in each one of the members, and the same for every Christian group all over this land of ours. God of the world, God of America, God of the United States, our God, the only God, we pray to thee that thou help us to pray in sincerity, in truth, not just for personal interest, but for the interest of our people in our land and in all the nations of this earth. We ask that thou would bless this service. We thank thee for each life here. We pray that thou would guide us in the worship today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we'd like to give a special welcome. wonderful God we have. There is but one. He's always been. He's eternal. He's wonderful in his nature because he's absolutely holy. When you say holy God, you mean a God of truth, a God that's righteous, and a God of love. That's what a holy God means. One who's truth, one who's righteous, one who is love. He's not only great in himself, but he's great in his ability to do. Out of nothing, he created a universe and put all life that's on this universe. And his supreme creation was the body of man, and then his breath breathed into the body, and man became a living soul. He went astray, led astray by Satan through his companion or his helpmeet, and consequently brought sin into the world. But God didn't lose his love for him and his concern for him. That means everyone. Means man, woman, boy, girl. God is concerned for every creature made in his image. Not a passive concern, but a predestinated concern. Concern from the foundation of the world. And it's never been relieved or weakened, so far as I know. It's just as strong today as it was for the first man and the first woman and the first children of the couple. God is concerned for you and for me. Isn't that great? A wonderful God with all the multiplicity of individuals of the human family, yet loves every one of us. Not only loves for us, but cares for us. He's provided for us a Redeemer. And that Redeemer came to be tempted just like you and like me. And he never sinned. Therefore, he qualified himself to be the sinner's Savior. And so God provided a Redeemer for our sins. And Christ came and fulfilled the purpose of the Father. And the last word from the cross was, "It is finished." The redemptive plan of God was now complete. He dropped his head and gave up the ghost. Physically, he was dead. But on the third day, he arose again from the grave and came and walked and talked with men for 40 days, at the close of which he ascended back to the right hand of the Father, but not until he completed the plan for the redemption of man and provided the agent to be his representative in sharing this news with the rest of this world until he will come again. So that privilege is before every Christian group like this, to pick up the message of the love of this great God, the Father, and the great God, the Son, the Redeemer, and undergirded by God, the Holy Ghost, to witness to this fact to all the world. And in this, the greatest business in this world is cooperating with God in building his kingdom in the heart of each individual person made in his image, and leading that one to become born into that kingdom. We can't do it. Only truth and grace will do that. But ours is to tell it, to share it, to make it known by the way we live, and by the spirit that we possess and express, and by the love that we share with the world around, and by our loyalty and witnessing with lips and through varied media to this dark, lost world. And every soul that's saved is saved for the same mission, to share the message with this lost world. and will be so until Jesus comes again. Not to do that, to shirk that responsibility, is a tragical sin on the part of a Christian. Amen and amen. But to do it brings joy to the heart of that one and peace within, and an increasing growth, an enlarging faith, and an enlarging power within that life to cast an influence the way we live and the way we serve and the loyalty that we express to the things of the soul and sell not out to the things of the flesh, though the flesh has its place. And we need to give good attention unto it. And there it is. So, as we're going along the course of biblical revelation and of human history, as far as we have history back, we find that there have been rises and falls of a religious interest. Even before Jesus came, people were interested in religious awakening that was revealed on the part of such as Abraham, sent out of God, and how he wanted to be in the hands of God to find where he would work in this world. That was true with Israel when they had gone through with the plagues, and they came to realize that God had a purpose for them and wanted to deliver them. That was true, certainly, with those yonder when Nehemiah brought a remnant back to Palestine and there preached and taught and led in a program along with Ezra and brought a great revival, awakening to the people of the Jews yonder in Palestine. And that was true when John the Baptist came up and down the banks of the Jordan preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the people heard him and realized he had a message. It wasn't complete, but it was preparing the way for the forerunner. He was a forerunner of the coming of the Son of God. And people gave heed to it and turned toward the fact that we need to get right with God. And here comes Jesus and picking up John the Baptist's case. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And there he was, the inaugurator of the kingdom of God to be put in the heart and the soul of each person who would repent and let Christ in through an open door, the open door of the personal will. And Christ comes in. And so as it was in the old era, it is in the new era, the times that have come that needed an awakening. We could review history and see how the rise of the churches in times of unusual need, and then the lapses in the time of unusual prosperity, people fell away from God and back into sin and revelry as they've gone. And so here we have this wonderful story that I have related to you of the experience of Israel. Under the life and the power of a God's called man, Elijah, who came to tell Israel that there was but one God, and they were not recognizing him who redeemed them from bondage and brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. And now in gratitude, they turned away of the lust of flesh to not a God, but a being and an object, and worshiping them or those things, and had forsaken God. Isn't it wonderful the prophets that have been true to God and told them the truth and warned them of their sins and brought back the fresh dew of God's love for even a forsaken people that would constrain them to repent of their sins and call upon him for mercy and receive his grace? Nothing in this universe like it. Man has to have it to be his best, and without it, he'll never be his best. We'll go to the devil, and we'll live for the devil, and serve the devil, and die in the devil, unless we see it and turn from our sin, and by personal humble faith and faithfulness turn to our God. Amen. Now, we need an awakening. An awakening of leading the lost to come to know Christ. An awakening to lead the saved to come back and
realize that we haven't grown like God wanted us to grow. We just haven't nurtured our souls. We haven't fed on spiritual things. We've been so wrapped up with the things that we see and the things that we feel and the things we possess until we've forgotten greatly the Spirit. I don't know that there's any person that is what he could be by the grace of God. But I know that ought to be in the heart of every Christian, to grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of God and know that he's real. If you can't get right with God, you'll never be right in other relationships of life in a way that'll be acceptable unto God. I've said it, you may not agree with it, but it's taught in the Word of God. You can't build a Christian character on an unregenerate heart. They may have some good things. I wouldn't say that don't, but to build a Christian character on an unregenerate heart is not God's plan. It must be born again, and a new heart, and a new life, and a new quality, and a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if that isn't Christianity, then God forgive me. I wouldn't want to preach another sermon if I'm wrong on that. Amen. There it is. We need an awakening. We need it in the world. We need it in America. And every witness I might bring here and speak to you would, I think, conform to the statement I've made. We need it in government. We need it in economy. We need it in education. We need it in home. We need it in the heart of every man who's a father or a husband. We need it in the heart of every woman who's a wife or a mother. We need it in every child. Hear me, for Christ's sake. We need an awakening in America and the world today. Amen. I take it in a similar state of what Elijah confronted. God was capable of giving what they needed if they were willing to acknowledge him as the true living God of their soul, of their life, of their nation. Amen. Changed everything. He's able to do it. He made us. He knows where we're sick. He knows how to heal us, and he knows we're weak, and he has the strength, and he wants to share it with us. He knows we're sin, and he hates sin, but loves the sinner, and he wants to forgive. And that's his divine mercy. Can't be measured by any individual life. The mercy of God for me and for you. So, we need an awakening. And I say it touches every tangent of life. I don't think you can improve on the method used of God through Elijah to bring about a true, divine, God-given awakening. I don't think so. I think he's outlined to us the great plan. Number one, go and call all Israel to come to the summit of Mount Carmel, to a place that we might worship in common. Let the people who don't believe in the temple come and worship in common. Let the people who worship on high places and build altars on them and worship Baal and the object of Baal, let them come to the high mountain of Mount Carmel. If you've been to Palestine, you've been to Mount Carmel, I hope. And they're on top of that mountain. And so he said, let them come there, and we will see who is God. And if Baal is able to do what you say he is, then let him show it. And if he can, I'll call on Jehovah God. I know he can do it. And so there's the background. Go and call all Israel. America needs to turn the face and the faith and the interest and concern of the people of our land and the world back to God. And if Christian people don't do it, who will? We're saved to do it. We're blessed to do it. We're commanded to do it.